everybody, and welcome back to the I Don't Know Running podcast, where we share our experiences that make running fun and sometimes not so fun. I'm Lewis, and I'm a self-admitted lazy ultra runner who is ready for a marathon this weekend.
You sure you're ready?
I said that with a little bit of question, didn't I?
That was kind of messy. I'm Mitch. I'm just sleepy, ready for a nap.
Yeah, that time of day.
Not ready for a run, really. Yeah, you know, lately I've been going out to my truck at lunch and
catching a snooze
for about 10 minutes.
Really?
And I didn't do that today. I went to lunch because I tried to guilt a friend of mine that retired into going out last night because we had a developer, an offshore developer that was in town. So they were getting together at New Holland. And I'm like, I know you were invited. Are you going to be there? And he said, no, he had a condo meeting. I'm like, skip it. Nobody cares about that. Well, I'm on the board. They won't miss you.
They won't vote you on next time. Then you're free.
And I give him a hard time. And I said, I don't feel loved. What the heck? And he says, I'll show you love if you go to lunch tomorrow at Dairy Queen. They go every week.
Today?
Yeah. So I'm like, I'll go to lunch.
So how long have you done the nap at lunch?
It's just once in a while, like a couple of weeks. I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like I'm just so tired and I just need to snap out of it so I can actually get something done.
I have a good friend who has done that for quite a while, and he swears by it. It's on his lunch hour or whatever, lunch break. And so it's not, you know, it's not his working time.
Right.
But he, I don't know what he did when he was at work. Whether it was go out to his vehicle, he may have done the same thing, but at home, but since COVID, he started working from home. And he goes and he lays down, he takes a 10-15 minute nap every single day at lunch, and he swears by it.
I'm telling you, it just knocks the fog off, it seems like. I don't know what it is.
He can't stand it. Similar to like you today, he can't stand it when he doesn't get it. It just wears him out.
It's not every day anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's just once in a while. It's like, I feel just not great. And I'm,
yeah,
you know, because I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, by the time noon comes around.
Yeah.
Tired.
Well, we'll see if we can get you through this podcast without dozing off.
Well, don't be boring.
Okay. I'll try.
So with that, you hesitated, like, uh-huh. I know that there was a little twinge. We won't call it an injury, but then
the whole 180 thing has broken me. It has broken me. I went out 2 days ago.
You haven't run Tuesday. Since you've only run 2 days ago?
Tuesday. I went out Tuesday.
Slacker.
And, well, I don't do every day. I haven't done every day.
That's still that you had 2 days in there, not just one day off.
Today?
No, you said, okay. You said, yeah. So you went out yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's
yesterday.
Okay.
And then I'll run tomorrow. But I went out yesterday, and ever since I have been chasing 180, pretty much I can't not speed up my cadence.
You're like Rain Man.
Well, I just can't get it now that I've sped it up. I can't get it slowed back down to where I'm not potentially just tweaking something. So yesterday I went out and I went, you know what? 8:35. That's all I'm focused on.
But what do you have to run for the
8:35?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 8:30. I think it's actually 8:36, but.
Did you see the email? He said you got plus or minus what? 4 or 5 seconds is all he wants.
Oh, for pace.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He doesn't want you.
Wow. That's tight. Yeah. And if I remember right, and especially, we hit that turnaround and somehow we.
It's a long course though, too. You're a tenth tenths long. And you can try to run every tangent.
You got to hit the mile markers and do your time.
And that's what I mean. And he doesn't have the splits on the sign. So if you want splits, you have to print them out yourself, because I'm going to paste them right to the sign, because mine's easy. Mine's 10:30 on the button, but I do bad math the further I get into a run.
Yeah. Anything off right on the minute. Like, so when I pace 3:30, it's awesome because it's 8 minute pace.
Yeah.
That is the easiest.
Except for you haven't trained for 3:30.
Well, right. There's that. I thought
it's
about
a pace, it. Because you got to be consistent.
Exactly. I could do 8:30. I could easily, well, I say easily, I could do 8:30, but not at a pacing.
When you first signed up though, you were worried. It's like you didn't want to sign up and you've done well getting your training in. Yeah. So you might have been able to do it, but
yeah, I still wouldn't want to do it now. Even had I not hit this little tweak, 3:45 is nice. Like if I was consistent, if I was running more races and I'm turning in 3:10s, I would say, okay, I'll pace 3:30. But that's not even like, you know, they want a minute to a minute and 30 slower per mile.
Yeah.
Which is 26 to 30 minutes slower. But anyway, all that to say, yeah, I'm ready. But because of this whole cadence and what it has done in my last 3 or 4 weeks, I feel like I'm okay, but man, I'm not as comfortable as I was 4 weeks ago. And so, I was going, this is going to be great.
So no pressure. Don't screw it up.
I know.
That's the tough thing is like, especially at those a little bit faster speeds, like I'm running a 4:35. There are people that's a qualifying time for them, but not a ton of people.
Yeah.
I'm usually the cleanup crew, you know, and they're not happy to see you when you catch them. Like, what?
Yeah.
I'm going that slow. Oh.
Yeah. You're the pace group and that nobody loves to see.
Yeah. And I'm like, suck it up.
Yeah.
Start following.
Come on.
Let's go.
Join in. Finish it up and have fun. That's all you can do.
Let's not make it suck worse than it already does at this point.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to hit your goal, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But
yeah.
Your pace, they might be trying to hang out.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. But I think I'm fine. I think it'll be fine. It's just my hamstrings if they decide to wear out. But the thing of it is, what I keep doing is I keep slowing. So I'm out there and I just start running. And because I've been trying to change that cadence, I end up going a little bit quick and it causes hamstring issues. So I have to tell myself, just run slow and easy. And it changes my stride a little bit.
Yeah. What I'm worried about is usually the poop breaks. That gets me. Because you're trying to be consistent. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I got to go. Because that 1 year I had to go twice. So I caught up. I'm almost caught up to him. I'm like, blub, blub, blub.
Oh my goodness.
That was horrible. That was a bad day. That's the worst it's ever been for me. And then I caught Rob at mile 20 and he looked like he was done. He's like, oh, thank you. I'm so glad you're here. I'm like, all right, let's go.
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't matter. You get to that mileage. It's a marathon.
It is.
It sucks.
Yeah. No matter what, it's going to suck. And I had to drag him the rest of the way back. It's like, let's go.
I'm trying to remember. I think I remember that. I paced that year.
I think, we've paced quite a bit together.
Yeah.
At least at the same race anyway.
Yeah. And I think I remember that year because he finished with you and
he
it was
did.
All good, but he was not.
I looked over at him. I'm like, he's done. And I started running ahead of him and he kind of just hung on and I got ahead of the pace and it was really windy that day too. And I had my bib was about to fall off. So I stopped to fix my bib and he kind of caught me and we kind of came in together, but it was tight. And I think watch wise, I was over, but the, chip time, we were pretty much right dead on.
And which is what matters.
And I thought I was going to miss it.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And we say that we bring all this up because when this airs, we are running.
Yep.
Well, within a half hour. This airs at 6 a.m. on Sunday. We start at 6:30.
Do you see how warm it's going to be?
I did. What I did not see the starting time, 60s. But I see it's supposed to get up to 80.
Yeah. I think we'll miss it because we start so early.
Yes.
I think that we won't hit, but it's going to be warm and it'll be humid.
Yes, it is.
Jim, my new pacing partner for this year, he's like, he texts me, he's like, you didn't tell me it was going to be 80. I do not approve. I'm like, I'm sorry, man.
I thought about I thought about that recently when I was running and it was warmer out a few weeks ago when it was actually warm. And I went out in like a long sleeve shirt, didn't know how to dress for 60 apparently. And I thought to myself, I said, this is why I like to train on a treadmill in the winter because it's always 70. you prepare yourself for that warm day in the spring. Well, all this talk of marathons leads us into today's discussion, and that is all about marathons.
Yeah.
Specifically, majors.
Majors.
And more specifically,
Boston.
Boston.
But, you know, like, before we get into that, so we were kind of looking up things, and we're aware of this, but there's been three majors in the spring, and the other three are in the fall. So you got Tokyo, Boston, and London.
Yeah.
And that's all kind of close because Boston and London are really close to each other. So
they're a week. They were a
week. They're a week apart. Right? Less than a week. It was Monday to Sunday.
Okay. So yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a few people that do both.
Yep.
But that's close. So running Boston and you get an international flight to go to
Mark
London.
Mark had a friend that did both.
Yeah. Yep.
So is that who he ran with?
That's who he ran with at
Boston. One of the guys he ran with. Mm-hmm. And we'll have Mark on next week, actually, to talk about his experience. He has been on before. He has talked about his training. He talked about the experience of getting for qualifying and the excitement about going. And so we're going to have him on because I think it'll be a really neat podcast to hear his experience of Boston.
Right.
Because there's just nothing. I have never run anything like it. It is
me either. Amazing.
Yeah. True. Anyway, let's jump into Boston. A couple of things. Number one, this year, my schedule just didn't line up to pay attention this year. I was thinking about it as it was getting close because, you know, you'll have Facebook memories start to pop up, things like that. Brad Prime texted me a picture that he took. We were sitting at in the Athletes Village, and he had taken a picture. I think it had my shoes or something like that. And I was sitting there, and we were just waiting. And he texted it to me, and I said, and I thought to myself, I thought, oh, that's right, he runs tomorrow because I wanted to pay attention. He went back this year. And I quickly told myself, I said, no, that's today. He's already ran. It was Monday and I completely forgot. Huh. And the race was done. And so then I was really disappointed because I didn't get to follow it like I did last year. I like to listen to it in the background. There's like, depending on what I'm doing on a Monday at work, I can, because of I can usually do some things and just listen to it in the background, which I did last year, which was fun and exciting because the race was, and the race can be exciting. This year, I didn't get to do that. However, this year was pretty cool for a different reason. Number one, and we talked about this when you got here. It's always fun to look at the people that jump out into the lead, right? They're like, I'm going to go lead this race. Because it's a major, and there's cameras.
That won the 1 year from Japan. That's
different.
They made fun of him.
Yeah.
And he led the whole way.
He did. That one was different because he actually had credentials and the ability to win. A lot of people that do the, I'm going to jump out in front and get my however many minutes of fame, don't really have the credentials ability to win.
And they get their picture out there and then they're gone.
They're gone.
Well, and they're running a 4:30 at the end of the day.
That's the thing. I thought to myself, is that, you know, how fast do you have to be to lead one of the majors like this? And you put pencil to paper. And so this year's Boston, the 5K, the leaders crossed the 5K in 14:20. It's like a 4:30 or something pace.
And how many people can run a 5K that fast?
How many people can run a 5K that fast?
Or
how many people can run
a mile?
Can you run 1 mile that fast?
Can you run a mile that fast?
I can't run a 1 mile in 4:30.
Slacker.
No way.
I had more. I thought you were better.
How fast can you run a mile?
I can do twice that. I can do twice that.
You can do a sub nine.
Sometimes for sometimes. 1 mile. For 1 mile.
And then we broke it down. We said, I said, I don't think I can do an 800 in that.
But we're going to test this out. It'd be awesome if we could video that and then you.
Oh my. Because it's
we'll get you on the treadmill and we'll just video it.
I don't think treadmills will go that fast because I think.
We'll put you on. We'll even let you cheat. We'll put you on Terrence's zero gravity. On the zero gravity and see if you can do it.
Oh, there you go. That would at least.
Because you've been gaining.
Because it would hold you up, right? Does that hold you up?
I think it does. You can take like so much percentage off and you know, you. Since you haven't been running, you probably gained some weight.
Oops. Not miles per gallon. Miles per hour. 430. That is not correct.
I'll try to figure it out in your head. That always works.
I can't. And it's, but it's like 12. I think it's like 12 to 13.
There are some treadmills I can do. It's just not probably.
Not many.
Not a normal.
Like your normal treadmills you buy off the shelf, so to speak, 10 miles an hour is usually their top. Nicer, usually more expensive ones will go up to 12 miles an hour, and then professional elite level, which are very, very expensive, will, I don't know what they go up to, but they'll go over 12. But anyway, very, very fast. So it is interesting to think, wow, look at this clown. He can't run. No, he can run. He, you know, if you're leading that, you're fast. You can run. But not everybody. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting. They crossed that. And then additionally, what was interesting about the Boston Marathon this year, I got to get the eventual winner. How did I lose the eventual winner? I had it up and let's just go to results here. And let's look at the leaderboard. It's Cisse. I don't know how to say his last name. Which is Cisse Lema.
Because you don't hear about Kipchoge anymore as much. And the guy that beat his record passed away.
Yeah. They did mention that.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah. And they did mention that because he was at the halfway. No, not at the halfway. Prior to halfway, he would have been in record pace. So like 10K, he was at record pace. Chibet was up there. Evan Chibet, he was up there. He ended up in third. But here's the thing: at I think it was like 10K, from 10K to like the half marathon, Cisse, who won it, had a 2 minute lead on second place back.
Really?
Two?
But it wasn't minutes. That. It was closer than that at the finish.
Very close at the finish. Well, they brought it down to 40 seconds.
Okay.
So they chipped away essentially for the last half, but it was interesting listening to some of the I looked up some results and they were talking about it, how he went out and said, I'm just going to sprint the first half, or I'm just going to crush the first half and see who can catch me, which is not a typical
that's a marathon approach. A positive split.
It
always works out.
Yeah. Matter of fact, his was positive by 4 minutes. He ran a 101 half. I think it was a 101. No, a 1 hour and 19 second half.
So that's like
he had a 6 minute positive. Yeah. Yeah. Cause he ended up with 206, 17, 6 minutes.
What an amateur.
What an amateur. We need to tell him how he should run his marathons.
He should listen to this podcast because we have a lot of advice about that.
We do. Let's get him hooked up with PT Sports Pro and Terrence, and we can get this guy to winning some marathons.
And
wait a minute. He just won Boston.
Win him the right way.
The right way, yeah.
We're going to shame him.
Yeah, there's a wrong way and a right way to win a marathon.
And we decide that.
Yeah, not your way. So anyway, it was a different type of marathon that is
interesting. So I set it up at work and I got on the tab and I just put the guys I knew, guys and girls that I knew that were running, and I just, it just refreshes, but I just, yeah. I would just look at it once in a while I was.
Yeah. And I like to do that as well. But I do like to watch the leaders, and I'm really bummed because I didn't get to see anybody. I know I wanted to track Mark. I wanted to track Brad. Cause I knew he was going back out there. I didn't know who all was going. I saw them pop up, and there's a couple other people I know that I'll just throw them in the queue of like people, you know, but missed it this year, which I'm really bummed about. But still, they had a warm day. It was very warm. Not as warm as it's been in the past. But it was warmer. Brad, I know he said it was a little warmer.
Yeah, because I tracked Jim and he doesn't do well. And he's like thinking he should qualify.
Who you're pacing with?
Yeah. Oh. And he's like, I should qualify. He was, you know, like, because I ran with him. He's like, I know I'm not in like PR shape. I'm not in like killer shape. I haven't been running enough. But I should, like, based on the time, I should be able to qualify. Because he gets a big difference again this year. He's got a big birthday. And so I'm tracking him and I'm watching it. I'm like, oh, he's slowing down. He did not qualify.
Oh.
He fell apart. And he said,
it got warm.
A combination of not being trained like he wanted to be, and it got warm.
Oh, so he's looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, so that's why I got that text. So he's like, not happy about it.
Oh, man. I got to think about if I want to carry water. Are you carrying?
I don't think I'll carry.
Just to be safe?
No, I usually don't. I just make sure I get it at each water stop. And that's typically enough. It's not a trail race. If it was a trail race, it's different.
True. Yeah.
I just don't like to carry. I know people that will run with a pack, and I just don't like to carry all that extra stuff if I don't have to.
I usually have, because I never want to put myself in a deficit during pacing.
But I drink. I make sure I drink enough.
Yeah.
And the last few races, I haven't been carrying, and you feel like you're getting waterlogged if you really try to stay on it, because I don't drink a lot on normal runs. So I like.
Yeah.
Knowing I'm going to run that far, and I have to do better on my training runs where I drink more, and I just don't.
I don't either. I do need to work on that. We talked about that on the PT Sports Pro. You don't know what you know. Don't know section.
We know.
We know we don't know it.
Or we know it now. We do know. I've known this for a long time.
I know. I need to do better about it.
New news. It's just, you know. Kind of like stretching.
So anyway, Boston Marathon was 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Coming up on. And
London Marathon was just Sunday.
Yeah. But Cisse Lima won the men's race. Helen Obiri won the women's race with a time of 2:22. Top American runners were CJ Albertson for the men in a time of 2:09:53, and then Emma Bates, which Emma Bates was racing last year for the win up until about 10K to go, I think. Might've been less than that, 5K to go even. She just fell off the back of the lead three, I think, or four, which was kind of a bummer. I was hoping to, again, this year, see if she improved. She did not, obviously, because it looks like her, Sarah Hall, and Des Linden, maybe they hung close together, because Emma Bates' time is 2:27, Sarah Hall's 2:27, and some about 30 seconds back, and then Des Linden was about another 30 seconds back of that at 2:28. So,
because Des has won it before.
Yeah. So maybe, Sarah Hall won it. Oh, no. No. Not Sarah Hall. Who am I thinking? I don't know. Anyway, and maybe that was actually New York, now that I think about it. Flanagan. Is it Sarah Flanagan?
I don't know.
Flanagan won. I want to say New York. Could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Hey, if you say it with confidence, who's going to argue?
No, I don't want to do that. I say when I...
When you're not sure.
I am not sure. But anyway, that was Boston. That's always fun. If you're a runner, you know, that's an exciting time.
And, well, what's interesting, I was looking up stuff because Kevin, he texted me last week and he's like, are you guys running in the morning still?
Yeah.
4:30? Yep. Every day? Yes. Of course. We run every day at 4:30. You know this. Well, I think I want to go for it at Chicago. So I just need to run with people. All right. Yeah, we'll be there. That's fine. So then I was looking stuff up and I'm like, well, Chicago, if you're thinking about for 2025, Chicago's too late. Like it's after the, like it would be for 2026 would be Chicago. Cause it's in, October.
Yeah. But he would still sign up this year for 2025, right?
No, the sign up is like the 15th of, September when I was looking it up. So yeah, that's a cutoff.
This September would be for 2025.
Yeah. So Chicago, if he runs Chicago, that's not until October, like the second week in October, it's too late. It's too late to sign up for Boston then.
Oh, he wants to go for it at Chicago for a Boston qualifier. Yeah. So he would have to do it in 2025 for 2026 Boston.
Right. So gotcha. I was looking up races. I was like, well, that Revel race in a couple of weeks is a good, it'll be a good qualifier. A lot of those downhill races. So I'm like looking it up and I'm like, you know, there's one in September 15. That's a Revel in Utah in Salt Lake City, but it's a steep downhill. And I think that could be detrimental too, like too much downhill.
Yeah.
And they do spout them as good Boston races. And then I'm like, Jack and Jill is another one. There's a couple of races that are Jack and Jill race. Oh. So I looked up the website and I said, okay, what are there's like 20 races out there that are the top, like they get the biggest percentage of qualifiers out of everything.
Okay.
So I did look that up and it was interesting and I sent that to him. I'm like, well, if you're really serious about it, you know, here it is. And the number one is Boston. Which is funny, that's not an easy race to qualify for Boston, but you have the best of the best there typically. Yeah.
And I've read that on that one. I don't think that it's necessarily the fastest course too, but all the other things around it is what makes it that. Yeah.
The next one, Chicago.
Yep.
New York,
huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, because maybe it's because it's a major. I don't know.
Huh.
Because there's more people.
Because I've never heard that New York's an easy race.
CIM, California International Marathon.
That's a fast one. These are all fast ones so far.
Right. Philadelphia Marathon, wouldn't think.
Yeah.
And then Erie Marathon, Mountain to Beach Marathon. And then you get into a lot of Revel races, which
Mountain
are the
beach. That one makes sense because I'll bet you that's very downhill. Makes sense
to look at it. Berlin, another major. Indianapolis Monumental. I know that one because that's a fast. I've run that one. Yep. I didn't run it fast. So Twin Cities, London, another major. St. George, that's in Utah. Richmond, Grandma's, Ottawa, Phoenix. I've heard Phoenix. Bay State, another Revel.
Well, yeah, because Phoenix has one that's very downhill all the way.
Yeah. Lay Valley, Steamtown, Marine Corps. Marine Corps is a good qualifier, I guess. Okay. I don't know.
It's interesting. It sounds like, though, I wonder how they're drawing those stats because
it must be percentage of people that actually qualify in the race.
Which makes sense because at Boston, those are Boston qualifiers.
Right.
So they're likely to be able to qualify.
Right. That's why it's number one, I think. And then even in the majors, again, it's like there's a lot of fast people that go to those.
Yeah. And a lot of them, like New York, you have to qualify for. Chicago now, you have to qualify for. You can get in on lottery.
You can, but guaranteed. Chicago qualifying times are reasonable, though. They're not like getting into.
They are more reasonable. Yeah.
Yep. The last one on here, though, it's just crazy to me. My favorite race, Bayshore.
Oh, really?
It's the last one on here. Bayshore Marathon made it to that list.
Wow.
So, and that is, I mean, you've run it. You paced it or run it?
Paced it.
It's a good course.
Yeah, it is.
It's got the turnaround. You do have to run around that corner and come back. But
other than that,
it's straight. Yeah. You know, like it's just out.
Do you remember running Kalamazoo? The couple of times where they had, because you've ran it several times, right?
Oh yeah, every time I run it, I paced.
Yeah, where they had, I don't know, the one year I feel like they had like five cones you had to do quick little turnarounds on. It was so frustrating.
That was my experience. Like I can't remember what number race it was. probably my third or fourth marathon was Sunburst Marathon. It was from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to Notre Dame.
That's what I was going to say. Finished at Notre Dame.
And yeah. I don't think they do a full there anymore. It might, half. They do a half, and I don't even know if they do that. And I don't know if it finishes in the stadium anymore. But we ran right into the stadium. Yeah. But that race, I'd love to just see what my opinion is now. But I think it goes down as one of the worst races I've run because it had all of that. Like it more than Kalamazoo. Like you run down here, run around a cone,
back.
It was horrible, but I didn't know what I didn't know then. But now I would be like, ugh.
This sucks.
It'd be horrible.
Yeah.
But those are not good qualifiers, like when you have to run around cones and
they're
all those
awful.
Other.
Glass City has always been a
good qualifier.
A good
too.
Qualifier. Yeah.
There's one hill.
Flat and fast. I thought about it yesterday when I was running and I was going up I don't even know, one of the hills. Here, and I always say we're flat here, right? We're as flat as it comes. But as I was running my little course, I thought this hill's bigger. Up by the bank. But anyway, going up the hill, I'm like, this is steeper than any hill I'm going to hit at Glass City, because there is nothing
there. It's that one hill is like I don't know if it's quite a ways. It's a half
mile. It's a long, flatter one.
It's a long, flat hill.
Yeah.
But it's at mile like 17
or
18.
It's not at a great place.
It's not a bad hill. It's not bad.
Not but at
it's
all.
It's at a bad time.
You barely notice it actually until you're into it and you're going, oh, we're going uphill here.
Like what the
so
hell?
That's how it's not very, but it is at the worst time.
Yeah.
17 to 18 miles. Is when people start to feel it and go, this sucks. And
it made me think about last year. We had a girl that ran with us the whole way. And then you come in by that mansion the second time.
Oh, yeah.
So you do those two loops. And we're running and she's joking. And all of a sudden,
gone.
She stopped. I'm like, hey, let's go. We got to, you know, like we're on pace. Like you're doing good. No, I don't think so.
Man.
Like, we're at mile like. 23 or I think we're at mile like 23. It's 20.
So you're past the hill.
Yeah. We're way past. We're in the mansion area. And the second time around, we're getting ready, going through the mansion and you take a left to go down the bike path.
Yeah, isn't that where the hill starts?
No, the hill is way before that. The hill's before the mansion the second time.
I got to think about that now.
I know.
Have they changed the course?
They've changed it many times.
Well, no, I'm saying like this year, do you know if it's,
I don't know.
I haven't looked. I know that they were.
That hill's out on the road. Like you're out on that major road.
I was thinking that was after the mansion. But,
No, the only thing, it's after the mansion the first time.
Yeah.
The second time, you turn and you take a left and then you're coming down and it's pretty much straight shot.
Actually, because once you hit the mansion and turn left, you don't have much left. You're getting close.
No.
Because then you hit that long, stupid.
And it's just as boring.
Boring.
At that point.
Yeah.
And you pass a lot of people at that.
Yeah.
Point. There's a lot of carnage after that.
Yeah. And you don't have any cover. So it's going to be nice and toasty.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
It's going to be great.
Bring your sunblock.
Some other really quick stats. I thought it was pretty interesting for Boston is the states represented. Okay. And you would think like, okay, Massachusetts.
Michigan would be at the top.
Yeah, Michigan at the top. No, Michigan had, let's just do numbers entered because we really, it's close to the numbers that started, but 535 people from Michigan went. California had 1,903 people. And they
California always has the most people in Western states too, it seems.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Massachusetts had 4,464. I wonder, it would be interesting to know. Obviously, that is the highest. I would like to know how many of those are charity entries.
Oh, yeah.
Because they hold a bunch of slots for charity runners to get in and do it. It would be interesting to know the number on that. New York's another big one, 1,500. So it looks like New York and California are the two biggest ones. And then Texas, 990
Who's last? Who's the least amount?
Let's see. We've got 65 from Louisiana. Oh, 29 from Mississippi.
I was going to guess that.
Oh, hold on. North Dakota has 19 this year. Looks like they were the lowest, with South Dakota with 25 next.
Because when I was going to Mississippi to work, like, nobody ran.
I don't think in Mississippi?
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, so North Dakota, then Mississippi.
I got chased by a few dogs out there. Maybe that's why they don't run.
Maybe. They don't have to leash their dogs.
The dogs on the porch coming out.
Nicole wouldn't run there. I'm not a fan of running around dogs.
Running out in the country and about six dogs come off the porch. It is not fast mile.
Yeah,
but it's
right.
not a good feeling.
Typically, yeah, you can run pretty quick when you're being chased by a dog. interesting, Wyoming had 23. So they were down there. I'm curious to see what states 100% of their runners finished. Wyoming is one of them. They had 20 start. And again, this is where entered, started, and finished. You have three different numbers there. So Wyoming had 20 of 20. Looks like South Dakota had 24 of their 24.
So they got low numbers, but they got grit. Yep.
And then same as North Dakota had 17 of 17.
How many people do you think that
Montana, 32 of 32?
How many people actually run that race that don't finish it though? Because that's the one that...
Yeah, I've got that one too. 83 of 83 from another Hawaii had... Wow, Hawaii had 59 and 59 finished. So they don't give me that total.
And I want to know how many dumb. I want to know how many are charity runners that had no business running. I want that breakdown.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I paid $4,000 to run this race, but
I do have, okay, here we go. So 96% finished the race.
Okay.
26,491 started.
I'm curious how that is compared to other races though. Like what's the average finisher? Cause I know, would they say hundreds? It's about 50%. It can be down to 50% of people that finish that start.
For hundreds? Yeah. Hundreds, 50% is a good finish.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure 50% is a good finish at 100 miler. Yeah. Whereas many are in the, 30, 40%. A lot of people don't finish.
Or Badwater for that matter. I wonder what the percentage is of that.
That would be pretty low. That would be a lower one.
It'd be horrible.
20s, I bet, percentage. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. To get into Badwater is a little bit different because, well, a lot of hunters do make you have some kind of qualifying race. But Badwater is another level.
It is.
Yeah. And I feel like you have to almost submit an essay.
You do. I believe you do.
To say, this is why I should be selected. So... there's a lot of dedication that goes into that. But a race is a race. That's why I show up on race day, because anything could happen.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, weather, whatever. A shoe can blow out, whatever. You know, so many things can happen on race day. And that's why you show up on race day and not on the virtual race day.
Forget your shoes. We had that. We had a friend that.
You didn't like the virtual race day?
No, I ignored it.
Forgot their shoes.
Did a triathlon and then went. How do you remember? How do you forget your shoes?
That's a tough one.
But it was a backyard try.
Oh.
And results posted online. And this is from 15 years ago.
Uh huh.
In the results, because we're all friends, you know, like on that one, and it says next to his name, it doesn't say did not finish. It said forgot his shoes.
Did he finish or no?
No.
Oh, he didn't run barefoot?
He didn't run bare. I think he tried and it was like he didn't have summer feet.
Didn't have the summer feet yet.
Oh my gosh. That was funny that it was in the results that way though.
That is.
We had a lot of fun with him.
That's good. So anyway, Boston Marathon, London Marathon, Tokyo Marathon are done this year. Three of the six majors, Berlin, Chicago, and New York to come this fall.
Fun fact, I was looking up numbers on that. How many people have actually won all the majors? And it was like, as of Tokyo, it was 11,000 people.
As of Tokyo 2023.
Is that what it was? Yep. So it's been further. So there's probably more.
Yep.
Yeah, and then,
a few more.
And then you said, you looked up the other result and you said 96 people have done it twice.
Well, yeah.
So if you really want to stand out, do it three times.
Oh my goodness. I don't even want to know what that number is. It's probably a handful. That's you're in a small group if you've done them twice.
And they're talking about adding another one in 2025. They're going to announce a seventh major. So all those people that have all the majors,
they got to go do another one. They did add the Abbott World Majors. They did add, I think I read, in 2016, they added a 6-star medal for those that have run all 6 of the majors. So I wonder if that went to all 11,000 from the past that have done it.
Not yours.
Or if it's only going forward from 2016. That would suck. If you did it in like 2015, and they come out with a medal, I'd be ticked. Like, I want that medal.
Do it again. You can be the 97th person that did all of them twice.
I'd be bummed. But anyway, that's the World Majors that we're talking about. Mitch and I will not be at any of those this year. You put in for...
I put in for London because Carl was talking about it in the morning. He's like, why not? And I'm like, it doesn't cost you anything to put in for it.
But boy, it costs you a bucket full if you go.
The race entry itself is not that expensive.
Oh,
I've spent more money on races, but you got to get a flight
and all that.
I don't think the flights are any worse than what they are domestic right now, because domestic flights are nuts.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. And then when you get your flight, you get shuffled, like what happened to us. Did I tell you about that?
No, I got that too. I'm going out to
who are you flying on?
Southwest.
Same here.
Yeah, I'm getting in late now.
So that's the same here. So here's what's funny. Sean and I.
That's why I picked that flight, was because of the time.
So Sean and I, we were going out to crew Brian, and we're like, well, hey, it'd be fun to fly with somebody you know. So we're like, well, let's try to book together. So we did. Booked our flights. So we're going out together. That's cool. And then on the way back, I'm like, there's only one seat left on the early, we're getting back at 5. And then the other one, you get back at like 8 or something. I said, well, go ahead, take the 5. Take the one that gets you back at 5. I'm fine with that.
She's going to get back for later than you know?
Well, she took that. And I was totally fine with it. I didn't care, right? And I took the other flight. And then she texted me, I don't know, like a week or two later. And she goes, hey, did your flight get moved around? And I said, well, I didn't see anything. And so I went and I looked and I go, oh my goodness, they moved us. So they moved the flight going out to Reno. And now instead of getting in at like 6 in the evening, we're getting in at like 11.
That's the same thing happened to me.
And so I told Brian, I'm like, I'm sorry, man. We just got bumped. Well, then I looked and I go, well, wait, they switched our return flight. Or they switched my return flight. So they put me on her flight originally. So I'm getting back and she goes, they moved me to your flight. They moved her to my flight.
That is BS.
Getting back later. And I'm going, how does this make any sense?
Laura loves Southwest. She thinks that's great. And I did it because of the time. I'm like, I didn't have the same experience. Yeah. Like it had the best. Other flights were similar in cost.
Okay.
But that had the best time where I'd get in where she didn't have to come and get me at midnight. Or 8 o'clock. Well, now I'd be better off flying one of the major airlines and flying what I want.
I mean, yeah, I'm bummed about that too, because we did not take an American Airlines one because of a little bit of a tight turnaround in Dallas. Otherwise, we would have booked for them.
In my experience, you know my experience in Dallas.
You love Dallas.
Yeah. Don't go through Dallas. Yeah.
What's funny is
you could sit there all day.
Yeah,
but you're at their mercy. It's like they just do stuff to screw with you.
I don't think they do that, but
I do. I am confident of it, because now it's like, oh, that's the guy that was complaining.
Could you imagine they're in the conference room on a Monday? Well, how'd this weekend go? Who all do we screw over? Twiddling their thumbs.
I think that is. I think that's the truth.
I don't think they do that. But.
They lost my bag on the way there.
Oh my god. We'll be right back. But anyway, that's World Majors. Always exciting to talk about that. Other than that, be sure to check us out on Facebook, check us out on YouTube, check us out on Patreon. Subscribe to all of those. Join the team on Patreon. You can do it for nothing, or you can choose to support the show in some way, shape, or form. But yeah, that's going to wrap up this week's episode of the I Don't Know Running podcast. Be sure to tune in next time as we share more about what we just don't know.
Until then, send me donations for the London Marathon next year.
Happy run.
And that's it.